Hello, dear listener. I'm Brother Aaron Caldwell. And together, through studying the Word of God, we can lay a hold on a more abundant life through Jesus Christ. We welcome you to another Life Worth Living broadcast.
Hello again, radio listener. It's a privilege and honor once again to come to you today by way of radio. And last week, we started maybe a 2-3, possibly a 4-part series on why we should use a King James Bible. And of course, we stated that we didn't aim to try to bring forth a controversy, but to try to take a look at this King James Bible issue with some fresh eyes. And a lot of people have made a lot of comments and even believe a lot of things simply because someone else has believed it or said it to be so. But we want to try to look at it through fresh eyes and allow the Lord to speak to us and try to help us in this issue. There's a lot of good people reading a King James Bible that don't know why they believe it or why they stand on it. There's a lot of good people that read other versions of the Bible that don't understand the controversy between the issue. A lot of it is just emotion. They don't want you messing with their Bible. They don't want to be told that they're reading something that's got error in it. And so it's a very emotional topic, and it can get people distressed and upset and actually cause born-again believers to go to war against one another. I want to say this. I do believe the King James Bible to be the only Bible for the English-speaking people. I believe that it is inerrant and infallible. I believe it is the Word of God. However, I am not one of these preachers that subscribe to the theory or the ideology that those that read another version are not saved. Or I believe there are saved folk that read other versions of the Bible. However, I do believe they have a Bible that is full of error and a Bible that is got issues in it, okay? And so I don't want to make you think that I think everybody that reads another version is wicked. I believe that they're reading a book that has error in it, and that's not of God. But I want to look at this through fresh eyes today. Now, the verse of scripture that I want to read today is going to pick up where we left off last week. And Psalms chapter number 11 and verse number 3 says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" We brought out the fact last week that Psalms chapter number 12 tells us that the Lord shall preserve them from this generation forever. That's the words of the Lord. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." And so we brought out the fact that according to the Word of God, that the writer of Psalms was saying that the Lord would preserve His Word. And we understand today that it is the Lord's will for us to have the mind of God, and the mind of God is in 66 collective books, the Holy Scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You and I understand today that Jesus Christ was the Word personified. And we understand if you read Hebrews chapter number 1, you'll find out that in times past, God would speak to the fathers by the prophets. The Bible said in these last times has spoken to you unto you by His Son. Now, Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, has died and rose again and now sits at the right hand of the throne of God, never liveth to make intercession for me and for you. So He's not here in His physical person. The second part of the triune Godhead is no longer here. We have the third part being the Holy Ghost of God, which liveth on the inside. But the Word of God was preserved and left for us. When the Word personified went back to the portals of glory, the written Word was left, and it remains today for you and for me. And when you couple the Word of God with the Holy Ghost of God, understanding that the Bible is a living word, and this living word is something that speaks to us through the Holy Ghost of God, which is why you'll hear me say that it's hard to understand the book if you do not know the author of the book. Okay, so we learned last week that God is not the author of confusion. And so having said that, we want to look today at this Psalms chapter 11 and verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, we made the remark last week, let me say this before we get on into the lesson or the message today. We understand, if we go back and look at Jeremiah chapter number 23 and verse number 36, you'll find that Israel perverted the words of God. If you read what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 17, you'll find that the Bible said, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." Okay, so you can deduce from 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 17 that there are some in this world that corrupt the word of God. It's just man's nature. Satan today corrupts or has a desire to corrupt the word of God. This is why I say there are good people that read other versions of the Bible, even though I don't think they're right in doing that. They have been deceived. We understand that there are people today that stand on the word of God as their final authority. And because they stand on the word of God as their final authority, Satan is not going to be able to trip them up. Many times you'll find what Jesus said when he was being tempted of the devil, three different times the devil come to him and offered him things. And Jesus would say, "It is written, it is written, it is written." Every time he counteracted what the devil was saying to him, he would say to Satan, "It is written, tempt not the Lord thy God." It is written, it is written, it is written. Jesus Christ himself went back to the written word of God. He argued or withstood rather the devil by the word of God. And so there are people today, although they may not read the King James Version, they have the mindset that they're going to stand on the word of God and they're going to stand on what it says and it's going to be their final authority. And Satan desires to trip them up, but because they use the Bible for their final authority, the only way that he can trip them up is by giving them a perverted word of God. Something that is altered, if you will. Now you take what happened in the Garden of Eden with Satan and Eve, and you'll find that there was partial truth in that conversation concerning the fruit on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But it wasn't the whole truth. There was partial truth there. There was doubt being cast on what God had said. Yea, hath God said. And so you got one person putting into question what God is saying, or one of the devil putting into question what God is saying, and you got Eve who has added to the word of God. And so when you have one disregarding or calling into question God's word, and you have one that's adding to what God says, you come out, friend, with an issue. That issue is what we see today, a corrupt world. It brings corruption. And so a corrupted word will bring forth corruption. And so there's a little truth. There's truth in some of these versions of the Bible, but it's not all truth. Okay? And there's partial truths, and there's things that's been omitted and things that have been added. And we're going to get into that farther into these lessons if you'll just bear with me. I'm not asking you to agree with me in everything that I say at this moment in time, but I'm asking you to give consideration to it and allow me to finish my lessons, and then you can walk away from these lessons to deduce your own thought pattern. But what I'm saying is, does it not make sense today that if you use the word of God for your final authority and Satan understands that he's not going to trip you up with the things of this world because you're a staunch believer and you know, you want to do what's right and you love the Lord, that the way that he would have to get to you, friend, is by changing what it is that you stand on today. Psalms 11 and 3, it's the foundations. What do you stand on? What is a house built upon? A house is built upon a rock, a solid rock, a strong foundation. You find here that Matthew 7 and 24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. What is the sayings of mine? What is that? It's the word of God. How do we know the sayings of Jesus Christ? Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. We understand if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is likened to a man which beholdeth his natural face in a glass. What is that glass? It's the word of God. So I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So number one, you can take Matthew chapter number 7 and you can come to the conclusion, number one, that those that hear the word of God and those that do the word of God is likened unto a wise man, a man with wisdom. Now, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth all men liberally. That right there says that if we don't understand, we pray. And the Lord liberally will give us understanding. So when you hear the word of God or you read the word of God, you couple the word of God with prayer, then the Lord will teach you and show you what he wants you to see through his word. So number one, that is why I say you must know the author of the living word. You must be saved by the grace of God if you expect to understand what the Bible is saying to you. Okay, and then you have to work at it, study to show yourself approved. It does require work on your part, but the Lord will give it to all men liberally, those that seek wisdom and ask of him. Okay, so this man that hears the word of God and does the word of God is likened to a man which built his house upon a rock. And so we see the rock being a solid foundation. No matter what happens to the building, the building's not going to shift to the left or shift to the right. It's not going to sink. You know, when a building begins to sink in one side, if it in one corner or on one side, it will cause the building to fracture. Do you realize that? I mean, that's why the man that built his house upon the sand, he wasn't a wise man. Why? His foundation wasn't solid. And because the foundation's not solid, it will cause the building that's built on that foundation to fracture. And so to fracture doesn't necessarily mean to be completely broken. And I want you to know Satan desires to destroy us. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. And so he doesn't come at us necessarily wide open, but he just chips away at us a little at a time. And so by perverting the word of God, the foundation, friend, being I'm founded on the word of God. But to Jesus Christ, him crucified. Some of these versions, if you'll take them and put them beside the King James Bible, you'll find that some of these versions, friend, are destroying the deity of Jesus Christ himself. And so what happens is through messing with the word of God, he's messing with our foundation. We stand on the word of God. The word of God is our final authority. And we're going to fight the devil with the word of God. Just as Jesus Christ told him, it is written. It is written. It is written. And so we determine we're going to fight him with the word of God. So he quits necessarily attacking us and starts attacking the word of God that we stand on. And so throughout the years, as we allow these modern versions to come in, who slowly water down what the word of God is having to say, and changing the word of God to allow important scripture and important verses not to mean exactly what they once did, then we're allowing him to mess with the foundation. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalms 11:3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Telling you, if the foundation's not right, your building that you're building on that foundation will fracture. And eventually, friend, it will succumb to the storms of life that comes to take it down. When we build a home, we want to build a home in a fashion that it can withstand the pressures and the elements of this world. But if you don't build upon the right foundation, your building will fracture. And through the storms of life, it will continue to fracture until eventually it comes down to the ground. Now, each generation, friend, will eventually, if we don't quit revising all these versions and watering the Word of God down, we're going to look up one of these days and our great-grandchildren and their grandchildren are going to have scriptures that have had all of the important things revised right out of it, friend. And man, that scares me so bad. Proverbs 23 and 23, buy the truth and sell it not, all wisdom and instruction and understanding. The why word is truth, John 17 and 17. We want our children to have the truth. And so I guess what I'm asking you to do today is, if nothing else, just get you a King James Bible. Sit down with some of these other versions and start going to some very important scriptures on the deity of Christ and what Christ was and what he come to do. And you're going to find, friend, that there's a lot of things that is missing out of these other versions of the Bible. Now, let me say this to you today, if I can. We understand that by reading 2 Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy and told him that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So if one was not careful, you could take what Paul was telling Timothy walk away believing that Paul was explaining to Timothy that because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, which is truth, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that makes Timothy perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, I want you to know, Paul was not telling Timothy that Timothy was perfect because he had the Bible or that he had scripture. But I want you to understand what Paul is trying to tell Timothy. He says, you have a perfect book. And so preachers should not preach. They should not mount the pulpit and preach an opinion that they cannot preach, backing up with the Word of God, excuse me. And so when a man stands to mount the pulpit and rear back and cry aloud and spare not, then he needs to make sure what's coming out of his mouth can be backed up with scripture. And we understand that no man is perfect, and a preacher buttons his shirt on just like anybody else does and ties his shoes like everybody else does. Yes, it is a calling of God to be a preacher, but still just a man. And so that man, in order to be perfect, must preach the Bible, because the Bible is perfect. Don't preach an opinion, we preach the Bible. And so having said that, it's possible today for the man of God to have a perfect word. Why? Because that's exactly the context in which Paul is talking to Timothy about, is the scripture, the Word of God. How can the man of God be perfect? He's thoroughly furnished into all good works because he has this holy scripture. The scripture, which 2 Timothy 3 and 16 says, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All scripture is profitable, friend, from the beginning to the end. We're to preach the whole counsel of God. That means from the front of, Genesis all the way to the end of Revelation. Now, how can we do that, friend, if we're swapping all these versions and all these versions are saying things differently than my King James Bible? You say, well, preacher, how do you know your King James Bible is right and it's not that my version's right? Well, we're going to get into that later on in this study. But what I'm trying to get you to understand right now is they both absolutely cannot be right. They don't say the same things. When you really study it, they do not say the same things. So, let me say this. This issue of the Bible for the English-speaking people, we need to go back and we need to figure out where the issues were at concerning the English Bible from the beginning of this issue. Now, I want you to understand something. Winston Churchill in 1948 said this, "Those who fail to learn from history are condemned to repeat it." All right? And so we've got to learn some things about our history. We need to know why we are what we are and why we believe what we believe. I want you to know there's a lot of people that stand on the King James Bible that don't know why they believe it. You've also got a lot of people that stand on other versions of the Bible and say that they're right, but they don't know why they believe what they believe either. The problem with the English-speaking Bible is back in the 16th century, friend, you're going to find the Protestant Reformation. And the Protestant Reformation, it was a religious, a political, intellectual, cultural upheaval that shattered Catholicism and the ability that Catholicism had over the people. I mean, they were oppressed by Catholicism in Europe. Now, maybe you're Catholic today. I'm not trying to beat up on you, but I want you to understand something. The Roman Catholic Church in Europe in the 16th century had control over the people of England, especially, that they were not allowed to have their religious freedom. They were what they were told to be. They did not have a copy of the Word of God, and all they could do was go on what their hierarchy in the Roman Catholic Church told them. Okay? And it was a mess, if you will. And you have what's called papal authority or papal supremacy. And that's the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church, friend, that the Pope has full supreme and universal power over the whole church. Now, that's a false doctrine. And that false doctrine gets its roots from Matthew chapter 16, where the Lord told Peter, he said, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, this Catholic doctrine, this false doctrine that you find that Catholicism is built around, is the fact that they teach that Christ appointed Peter as the first pope. They say that he was the first pope. And so now we find that down through the ages, we have papal supremacy, which is why we have the Roman Catholics have a pope today. And everything that's handed down or done is done through the pope. But I want you to understand something today. I have a potentate. I have a great high priest who ever liveth to make intercession for me. Why? Because when I got saved by the grace of God, my great high priest, friend, went before the mercy seat, sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat, friend, and I've been redeemed because of the sacrifice that was made and by the fact of the matter that Jesus Christ took the blood of the Lamb, that Lamb without blemish and without spot, and He was a Lamb, friend. And we understand that it was by that blood that was shed on the that was shed at Calvary and placed on the mercy seat in heaven, friend, that you and I are a royal priesthood, a holy nation now. And I have a great high priest. I don't have to have a pope. And if you believe that you need one today, I want you to understand something. Jesus Christ is the great high priest, friend. And He's who we go to. And because I accepted Him as my personal Lord and Savior, I now can go boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. I don't have to go into a box somewhere and tell somebody my problems and expect Him to tell me what I need to do to get rid of my sin. I can go to the Lord Jesus Christ and have my sin forgiven. But you will find here that the Roman Catholic Church was a very political movement. And so the issue of Bible versions, friend, goes so deep that it's unbelievable. It goes back to the Protestant Reformation and the fact that freedom of religion was restricted. It was a crooked operation of the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church did not want England to have the ability to read the Bible for themselves because they could not control them if they were able to understand God's law. Now, today, friend, you may stand on the Word of God for your final authority. But in these days, the people that was relying, if you'll let me say that, were relying on the Roman Catholic Church to give them what they needed, the Word of God. Now, you understand, going back into Hebrews chapter number 1, that God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, that in those days God spoke to His people through a man. And if they wanted the up-to-date Word of God for that time in their life, they had to get it through the prophet. But we know in these last times, God has spoken to us by His Son. The fact that people rely on a man to give them the Word of God is a scary situation. Now, I believe in preaching, and I believe that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But I'm telling you right now, you can take what the man of God stands behind the pulpit and preaches and look at the Word of God and compare what he's saying to the Scripture and determine whether or not he's saying what's godly or what is not godly, friend. In these days, friend, they were relying solely upon the Roman Catholic Church to give them the Word of God. And they were using their position in the Roman Catholic Church for political movement and for authority and power. They were wicked. The Pope was the final authority. Whatever the Roman Catholic Church said, it had to be so because the human beings did not have the ability to take the Word of God in their native tongue, friend, and be able to determine if what was being told to them was right or wrong. So William Tyndale helped to get the Reformation started, and we could talk about John Calvin, we could talk about Martin Luther, but there's something special about William Tyndale that I want to bring out and show you if I can. William Tyndale helped to get the Reformation started until he was finally martyred. He shed blood, friend, trying to bring the Word of God to English-speaking people. He literally shed his blood. He literally lost his life trying to get the Word of God to the English-speaking people because he understood the oppression that was on the people that could not read the Word of God or be able to relate it to what was being told them by the Roman Catholic Church. And so what William Tyndale proved at one time to a Roman Catholic scholar, he proved him wrong in the Scripture, and that actually helped seal the fate of William Tyndale. But William Tyndale had a love for God, and he had a love for the people, and he felt a burden to get the Word of God to the people so that they could come out from under oppression. Now, let me say this to you. We told you what Winston Churchill said about how history will repeat itself if people don't learn from it. They don't learn their history. What's going on here in the 16th century reminds me a lot of the children of Israel when they were over in Babylonian captivity and Nebuchadnezzar was handing down all these rules and regulations, and there was three Hebrew children who determined and decided they were going to stick with God. It was better to obey God than to obey man. And so they stood out, if you will. And now we find all the way down here in the 16th century, God has got some more men willing to stand up against the evilness of the times and stand with God on behalf of the people. I'm glad that there were some people that stood with God on behalf of the people. And listen, Proverbs 23 and 23, buy the truth, sell it not. William Tyndale was willing to buy the truth with the blood of his back. Friend, we need to buy the truth and sell it not. We're going to continue on next week. Stay with us, friend. We've got much to learn. There's so much in this. Stick with us. Don't cut us off. Friend, I believe you'll find some help on this issue concerning the Bible for the English-speaking people.
You have been listening to another Life Worth Living Bible broadcast, a ministry of the Mount Tabor Baptist Church in Maryville, Tennessee. You can address all correspondence to 1159 Middle Settlements Road, Maryville, Tennessee, 37801. We invite you, if you do not currently have a home church, to visit with us during one of our services. Service times are Sunday at 9:45 a.m. for Sunday school, 10:45 a.m. for morning worship service, 6 p.m. on Sunday for evening worship service, Wednesday at 7 p.m. for midweek prayer meeting service. May God richly bless you. Until next time is our earnest prayer.